Acts chapter 18, and we'll read verse number 1. In the New Testament, there are a number of families mentioned. Some of them are very, very impressive families, like Joseph and Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is Lazarus, and there's Mary and Martha, another tremendous family, and Eunice and Lois, the mother, grandmother of Timothy. And I'd like to read about, I think, what is possibly the greatest couple that are mentioned in the New Testament, Aquila and Priscilla. And it's in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Verse number 18. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took his leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. And then verse number 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning the Lord Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Aquila and Priscilla, now I find it interesting that the King James has Aquila and Priscilla. Every other translation that I looked up has Priscilla and Aquila, puts Priscilla first. But they heard him, and they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately, more perfectly. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refruited the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was the Lord Jesus. Chapter 16 of Romans. Romans 16 and verse number 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well, and greet the church that is in their house. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 19. First Corinthians 16 and verse 19. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send you greetings in the Lord. And then finally in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 19. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus, but greet Priscilla and Aquila. I think when it comes to this couple that we read about in our Bibles, maybe I'm just imagining them to be maybe the greatest couple that are mentioned in the New Testament. There's certainly a tremendous need amongst us for couples like Aquila and Priscilla. We're told that he was a Jew. In fact, when Paul came to Corinth, it speaks there about the fact that this couple had arrived and he was a Jew. And we understand that her name would suggest that she was a Gentile, from a Gentile background. But each mention in the Bible, each of the six mentions in our Bible, are by the Apostle Paul. They were a precious couple, it seems, to the Apostle Paul. They were very special in his life, and they were certainly very special in his ministry. They were a couple that did something that not every couple could do, although I was speaking with a sister just in the break, and she and her husband worked drywalling together, painting, mudding, I guess I should say, together. So it's not every couple that could handle that, working together every day of the week. But it would seem that this couple served together, worked together. And it would also seem that they are never mentioned the one without the other. And six times mentioned in our Bibles. And there certainly is a great need in the assemblies to have those who are couples that are truly, genuinely, and honestly committed, first of all, to one another, and then committed towards the assembly. Possibly, there can be no greater blessing in an assembly than to have a dedicated, committed couple. First of all, that love each other, and then that love God's people and are seeking to be a blessing to God's people. They can be a blessing maybe in a way that no other persons can in the assembly. When it comes to a wife, a sister, they have a perception, I think you'd find, that most men don't have. Maybe I'm just speaking about myself. But I couldn't tell you how many times my wife has said, and maybe you have had the same experience, no doubt, she'll say, you know, I think that we should go and visit so-and-so, because I think they're having some struggles, some difficulties, some problems. Didn't sink into my head. I didn't think of it. But you find out that a couple working together can surely be a great blessing. And that is not to set aside others in the assembly, single sisters, single brothers. Thank God for every one of them, because they can be a blessing in their own way, in a way that nobody else can be. And God bless every single one of them. There's quite a few suggestions as to when Aquila and Priscilla were saved. For myself, I'm inclined to think that it could have been, and of course I don't know, but it could have been on the day of Pentecost. In those about 13 different groups that are mentioned in Pentecost, there's those that are mentioned that were there from Pontus. And Aquila and Priscilla came from Pontus when they moved down to Corinth, about 250 or give or take miles away. And it's possible that on that day of Pentecost, with those 3,000 present on that day, that possibly they were there and possibly came to understand and be saved at that time. At least that's what I'm pondering and thinking about. Whatever, they're back there in Pontus. And in AD 49, you can read quite a bit about it in history, Claudius, the emperor of Rome, who hated anything that was not Roman and anybody that was not Roman, he put a decree out that every single one of the Jewish nationality were to be evicted from Rome. And in AD 49, they had that, I would call it a sad experience of being evicted out of your home country, possibly where they had grown up. Try and think what it'd be like if We got the news that our new prime minister, whoever he might be, maybe is going to evict every Christian. So out of Canada, that means that you'd leave everything behind, your house, your goods, and likelihood is your money. And you would be kicked out with nothing. And it must have been a difficult time for them, difficult experience. But God's ways are certainly not our ways. I wonder, would I be able to accept it as a plan from God? Because in AD 49, they leave Pontus. They travel down to Corinth. And they arrive in Corinth probably about 3 years before the Apostle Paul arrives in Corinth. And if we could possibly get a hold of the fact that difficulties in life, they come ultimately, God allows things to happen in our lives. And he allows these things for, first of all, for his honor and for his glory. But he allows them for our blessing. And sometimes I try to think, you know, if God could accomplish his purposes in a better way for his glory and for our blessing, if he could do it in a better way, if God could improve, then things would be different. But God cannot improve. And God cannot make things better. And the way God has permitted and allowed things to take place in our life is ultimately for our blessing and for the glory of God. And somehow, Aquila and Priscilla, it seems they move down to Corinth, they take their tent business, and they start making tents down in Corinth. The likelihood is that the tents that they made were not from animal skins, likely. Now, there was two ways of making tents, from animal skins, and there was a way of making tents from goat's hair. And you can read about it on the internet. Goat's hair was a very, very skillful way of weaving cloth and using it for tents and for awnings and for sailing ships. But Paul came and helped them in the tent business. And the likelihood is that Paul, being raised a very strict Pharisee, the likelihood is he didn't come in contact with dead animals. His family wouldn't have trained him in such a way. So the likelihood is he was trained to make tents from goat's hair. Quite a skillful work that was done. So whatever it was, they arrived down there and they established this business. And they worked there for possibly 3 years before the Apostle Paul arrives at the place. And when Paul came, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 2, chapter 2 and verse number 3, that he came in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And so there comes Paul, and he arrives in Corinth. He comes along in weakness and fearful and in much trembling. And you think of the joy that must have come to Paul as a result of coming there. And when he gets there, here he finds this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, making tents. He joins them. He works with them making tents. But what a tremendous encouragement it must have been. And if Aquila and Priscilla had never experienced the difficulty up there in Pontus in that Roman province where Claudius determined to get rid of them, and they left and came down to Corinth, it seems to me, in my little mind, that God has prepared and paved the way and prepared the way for the Apostle Paul by this dear couple and the pain and the suffering and the sorrow that they had to experience. And there in Rome, Paul went in the temple, as we read, and he taught publicly and from house to house. And for those 18 months, that couple worked, no doubt, listening to the Apostle Paul. And you think of what they learned in those 18 months. If it wasn't for the grace of God allowing that difficulty in their life, they'd still be in Pontus, and they'd never be experiencing the blessings that God had in store for them. Might God just encourage us. I've been impressed at the conference, the number of folks have been praying for our brother Mel, who I don't know, and others. This couple that lost three daughters, it has to be a tremendous, sad experience. The pain and the suffering is just beyond comprehension. And John and Christy over there in Glen Ewan, and their 9-year-old boy Ty, and different ones that are passing through deep waters. And you wonder, and you ponder, and you think, why does God allow such things in our life? If we can lay hold on the fact that somehow God is permitting and allowing these things ultimately for his honor and glory and for our ultimate blessing. And there for 18 months there with the Apostle Paul, and the joy they must have had, because God said, I have much people in this city. And he sends Aquila and Priscilla ahead of time to prepare the way. And now much people in this city are being saved, being baptized, the grave clothes being taken from them, and by the grace of God gathering. And that occasion when they met there to remember the Lord, and how the joy that must have been part of Aquila and Priscilla. And if it wasn't for the tragedy, they'd never come into the joy. Someone has said, the well of joy is dug with a spade of sorrow. And how true it often is. And now they're there. But now it comes time where Paul determines he's going to leave, and he's going to take, and he's going to move down to Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla, they have not put their roots too deeply, and I think it's quite amazing that they take and they leave with the Apostle Paul. Their life was a life of pilgrimage, and they were prepared to do whatever was needed to be done for the furtherance of the gospel and for the blessing of God's people. And so they go down there. Is it any wonder that Paul calls them his fellow laborers? And they went with him, and they come down to Ephesus, and they're in good company because Paul speaks of others being his fellow laborers, Timothy and Epaphroditus and about a half a dozen others spoken about as being his fellow laborers. And now they're in Ephesus. They've learned a lot in Corinth. They've learned truth from the Apostle Paul in a most remarkable way, because as they're making their tents, I'm sure the subject of their conversation would have been the Lord and the things of God and questions that they would have and the answers they'd be receiving. But here they are in Ephesus, and after a period of time, Paul leaves Ephesus, and he leaves them in Ephesus. And one day into the synagogue comes Apollos, and they meet him. He's eloquent in the scriptures, but he's not understanding the scriptures fully and completely. So they take him aside, kindly, graciously, no doubt taking him to their home. And there in their home, they sit down and they teach him more perfectly the way of God. If I could make the suggestion that we can be a blessing to Christians in other places, in other church groups, in other gatherings. Somebody here mentioned David Webster. He's the pastor in the Baptist Church in Prince Albert. But you hear from him and from others how he said, we just are running a fishbowl. And you take fish from this bowl, and you put it into that bowl, and you put them into the other bowl, and you move them around here and there. He said, that's how the churches are functioning. And Dave told me just this week, he said, so many unhappy Christians, dissatisfied believers. And I think it's a little message to us that we can be a blessing to others. And here's this man, they meet him, Apollos. And they begin to teach him more perfectly the way of God. They didn't criticize him. They're not there to win an argument. And after a period of time, Paulus understands the truth of God in a remarkable way. He goes on down to Achaia, and because of Aquila and Priscilla, he goes on down to Achaia, and he's such a blessing there amongst God's people in Achaia as a result of others building him up in their way. You know, I think Aquila and Priscilla are an example to us, possibly in at least three different ways. I think a tremendous example to us in when it comes to hospitality. First of all, they've got a church in their own home in Ephesus. And after a period of time they leave Ephesus, Claudius dies. Nero removes the rule that Jews can't live there. And then we find that they are back again in Rome. And in both of those places, you find there's a church that is meeting in their house. And as a result of the hospitality and the kindness towards God's people, if ever there's a need amongst us today, there's a lot of lonely Christians. There's a lot of Christians that are discouraged along the way. And we meet them and you shake hands and you say, "How are you?" And they say, "I'm fine." But down in their hearts, it's just not nearly like what it is. And you and I, as believers, as couples, as others, have a responsibility to try to show hospitality and bring people into our home and to be a blessing to others in our home. They're also there. Another thing they're doing, we've seen from Apollos, they're seeking to build others up in their most holy faith and seeking to encourage others. And may God help us that you and I would seek to encourage others in the faith. Because how easy it is to meet, and we sit down, and I'm guilty of it too. You talk about the farm, you talk about the truck and the car and the holiday and the one you're going to take and the one you wished you'd taken, the one you're thinking of taking, and then you talk about this, that, and a whole bunch of other things, but how often do we sit down and speak about our Lord Jesus Christ and say to one another, where have you been reading today? What have you been enjoying? And encouraging one another in the faith, and it would seem that they were a couple that were building others up in the faith, but they certainly had a heart when it came to reaching the lost. They were prepared to make a move and to move with the Apostle Paul and to move in those different places. And they had a church in their home in those two places. In Ephesus, we find that in 1 Corinthians, and in Rome, we find that in Romans chapter 16. And then in chapter 16 of Romans, we find that all the congregations of the Gentiles are thankful towards them. So it would appear that possibly they went further afield than simply just where we read about in the Word of God. And they tried to reach out to be a blessing to and encourage the Lord's people wherever they were. But Paul says they also laid down their necks on his behalf. And what a great thing when there are Christians, when there are God's people that are prepared to lay down their necks on the behalf of others. We don't know where that took place, but Paul had that trouble in Asia when he was burdened beyond measure, above strength. He despaired of life, and the sentence of death was in himself. And he certainly had great struggles. And there was occasions when he was greatly burdened. And so there came along this couple to encourage him and to help him. And so she is mentioned at least three times first, and Aquila is mentioned three times first, except if you read any other versions. She's mentioned four times first, and Aquila twice. He comes first. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. I'm not trying to make an issue out of that. But was it because she was more gifted? Was she more outgoing? Was she more of a... whatever it was, she wasn't trying to run the ship and control the thing, but they were working together and seeking to be a blessing. And now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is coming near to the end of his life. And when you come to the end of your life and you're writing your last words and you're speaking your last words, you're not wasting words. And Paul writes his last words and he says, "Greet Aquila and Priscilla." Actually says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila." And he speaks of this couple so, so dearly as he comes near to the end of their life. They're precious to him. What a great thing it is when believers, after years of knowing one another, I think from the first time Paul met them in Corinth until 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he's writing that letter, there's at least 16, 17, 18 years, depending who you look at, that have passed by. But for those 18, 17, 16 years, Paul and Aquila and Priscilla have worked faithfully together, and they've been a blessing together. And that here's a couple that have never cast away their confidence until Paul writes them at the end of his life. And might God help us as couples, as believers, as Christians in God's assembly to seek to be an encouragement and a blessing like Aquila and Priscilla, or like Priscilla and Aquila were.